Good morning. So last time we spoke about the question of really reaching and touching lahagia to the avoda hatzfuna, to that special spiritual moment. And I wonder if it's worthwhile even for us to do some homework this week. Because I was thinking about it afterwards, I should have probably said it last week. We should do some homework to pay close attention if we happen to bump into one of those moments over the course of the week. It's probably kedai to think about. Maybe when you get in the car afterwards, think about, over the last week, have I had one of those special moments? But what we're going to focus on today is perhaps you could call it a symptom of the avoda hatzfuna, of the hidden inner work that we're doing in terms of our growth. So we are, the page that you have in front of you, page Tezayin, is the end of Rav Volbi's Movo Klali, of the general introduction with Os Hey, letter Hey. That's what you have on the page. There should be plenty. He concludes section Dalid with a very interesting observation that helps us bridge this very abstract and aspirational aspect of Avoda Hatzfuna with something very practical, which is really interesting. And he begins that, we're not going to see this part inside, we'll frame it outside because it's a little too long. He quotes the Mishnah Maseches Brachos that tells us something very fascinating. The Mishnah says that in the Beis HaMikdash, they used to recite blessings different than we recite them today. Meaning today, when you recite a bracha, it starts always with Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, and then it concludes with whatever that bracha is, whether it's a short bracha or a long bracha. And then if somebody responds, listens to your bracha, they say,
Amen.
That's not how it was in the Beis HaMikdash. Our brachos and our tefillos were set by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, but the way that the Beis HaMikdash experience was, when you heard a bracha in the Beis HaMikdash, you did not respond Amen. You responded Baruch Shein Kvod Malchuso LaOlam Va'ed. That's number one. But the other thing is that when you said a bracha in the Beis HaMikdash, you would not say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. You would say the following: Baruch Atah Hashem Elokei Yisrael Min HaOlam. It was kind of a more expansive description. Blessed are you, our God, the King of the God of Israel, from the world. From the world. Min ha'olam. That's the way it was. However, the Mishnah says, Mishakilkalu ha, and then there's a discrepancy who that's referring to. Hakusim or Haminim, there were heretics who said, Ein olam ela echad, there is only one world. The world that we see with our eyes, they shifted the language of the bracha. So now, if you were to recite a bracha, you would say, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you God, Elokei Yisrael, min ha'olam, from this world, va'ad ha'olam, until the next world. That's what the Mishnah says. Okay? That's what it is. What's the depth of this matter? So evidently, in the first Beis HaMikdash, initially, or maybe even at the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, it's a good question, it's not clear. Initially, people perceived that there were two worlds. There was the outer world, and then there was the inner world. There were two. But then over time, people started to forget about the inner world, and they only saw Ein Olam Ela Echad. And what is the one world that they saw? Was the world that they saw in front of them. Not the world of the neshama, not the world of the soul, of the inside. So they had to change the formulation, the nusach of the bracha, to reflect from this world, min ha'olam, va'ad ha'olam, until the other world. That's what the Mishnah is telling us. So now, we have a very interesting parallel, or a connection, perhaps, Rav Volbi suggests. Very interesting. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Yuma that the two Batei Mikdash were destroyed for two different reasons. What was the reason that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? Mipnei ma charev, for what reason was it destroyed? So, the Gemara says, there were very serious crimes, mipnei gimel tvarim, avodah zarah, gilui arayos, and shfichas damim. And the Gemara quotes several verses to support these arguments that the people, they violated the three cardinal sins, the most serious breaches. So for that reason, the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Says the Gemara, Mikdash Sheni, the second Beis Hamikdash, Mipnei Ma'achariv. Why was it destroyed? Any takers? That's right. Even though Oskim B'Torah V'Mitzvos Gemilas Chasad, Mipnei Ma'achariv, Mipnei Shehoysa Bo Sinas Chinam. So do these two Gemaras, and I saw this piece in Ravolvi, I never thought about this. Do these two pieces have anything to do with each other? What's the connection between one Gemara saying that in the second Beis Hamikdash they had to tell people there are two worlds, Min Ha'olam Ve'ad Ha'olam, and in the second Beis Hamikdash there was this scourge of Sinas Chinam that they were so bad in their midos between people, their character traits, their ben adam lachaveru, ben adam laatzmo, that despite the fact that they were even, the Gemara describes, they were even doing gemilas chasadim. It's an interesting, to do gemilas chasadim and have bad midos is a very interesting level. What do those have to do with each other? Any thoughts?
Why was there so much hatred?
Okay. That's part of the root of this question. Right? What is the origin, or where does that come from? What does that have to do with the Mishnah Brachos?
They didn't realize the inner world. They weren't conscious of that.
So maybe that's it. That if we don't believe that there is the world of the spirit, of the neshama, of the ruach, so then where does character development come in? Where are ethics and morals? They're really not necessary. If ein olam elo echad, if there's only one world, so then you just have to get ahead. You just got to do whatever it takes to beat back the next person. Right? Well, some people don't think it's so terrible. Some people live like that. What an amazing eyefall. So what we have now done, which is very fascinating, and that's what this paragraph is going to be about today, is we have bridged what we thought was a super spiritual world, right? If you shared this Mishnah in Maseches Brachos, if you told somebody this, they would be like, whoa, that's super spiritual. You know, they had a blessing, and they changed the blessing to reflect that there are two worlds. There's the world of the physical, and there's the world of the soul. That's like very abstract. But then you tell somebody, well, what about just being a person of goodness, of happiness, of positivity? They would say, I can get that. I understand what you're talking about. And now I'm pointing out that those are actually inherently related. There is an integral connection between the two of those. And that one way, and this is the interesting thesis, one way of working on the avodah hatzfuna, on the chovas halavavos, is working on our character, on our midos, on the unseen part of ourselves. What kind of people are we? It comes back a lot to this, that where does this sinas chinam come from? It comes from a spiritual lacking. You know, we meet people, and oftentimes life is not just villains and heroes. You can't just always separate the two. Like, I know sometimes we've gone, years ago, we went as a family to Disney, and they have two parking lots. There's the villain's parking lot, and then there's the hero's parking lot. Life is never that simple that you're either in one parking lot or the other. There's usually some kind of confluence. But those are very distinct paths. You know, when a person is in a negative path, then everything is bad. And everything everyone does is not good enough, and it's bothering them, and it's irritating them, and it comes from a very negative place. As opposed to if a person is in a good place, so then they see the positive. They're seeing something good. It comes from the Olam HaPnimi. So with that introduction, we now look at Os Hey. That's in front of you. Line number one. He says, Tkufas Habayis Hasheni, the period of the second Beis Hamikdash, mugderes bezeh, it is defined in this, ki acharei ha'izbonunus od hevchinu ba'achdos shnei ha'olamos. After thinking about it, they recognized the unity of these two worlds, the inner world and the outer world. Churban Habayis Hasheni poseach tkufa chadasha b'madregus klal Yisrael uba avodaso. The destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash gives us a challenge. So go down now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Go down to line 7. He's summarizing now the Gemara in Yuma that we mentioned. Mevarim Chazal. Chazal are clarifying for us. They're teaching us. Shehabayis Hasheni, the second Beis Hamikdash, Nechrav. It was the inner world of the people that was destroyed, that was rotten. So much so that the Gemara described that people were doing Gemilas Chasadim, Tzigazin. People were actually doing Chesed. But you could do Chesed and still be rotten inside. You could still do Chesed and be a bitter person, be a negative person, be someone who resents. You know, and sometimes we have this, and sometimes it comes not necessarily from a bad place. But a person can be doing something on the outside that looks good, that looks like it's noble. It could be Gemilas Chasadim, but on the inside, they're just rotten. They're just nebuch, they're lacking in their olam ha'panimi and who they are. Yeah, if someone forces them, they have chesed hours. Or they have some kind of chesed expectation in their circle, their social circle. So everybody expects you do it. So you do it. But does that really reflect a person who is shining on the inside of their neshama? Not necessarily. It's possible. That's what the Gemara is saying, that they lost that. Le'umas habayis harishon, unlike the first Beis Hamikdash, shesham nichshalu, where there they fell apart, ba'averos chamuris ma'od, aval olamam hapnimi loharsu avonos eile. What's interesting, he says, is that even though they may have been totally corrupt when it came to how they acted, I mean, there's rampant murder and idol worship and other kinds of immorality, but at the end of the day, at the core, it didn't rot their inner self. I don't know exactly how long that can sustain itself, but the Olam HaPanimi, it suggests, was not destroyed. Loharsu avonos ele, nizgala avonam. Their mistake was sheha avon hava halai begilui. It was in the chovas ha'ivorim. It was in the things that they did that were bad. They did a lot of bad things, but they didn't become bad people. As opposed to, in the second Beis Hamikdash, they may have done a lot of great things, but at their core, they just weren't good people. You know how you could do something for somebody, and then behind their back, you can undermine all the five things that you just did for them by saying something, you never saw anything like this. People here at Sedkanios, I know you never saw such a thing. But I've heard stories of such things, that you did something for someone, and then 5 minutes later, when you're texting or talking to the other person, you totally undermine the nice thing that you did for them, because you're just in a bad place, and whatever, we didn't live up to that light that we're trying to show. So it's possible that something could be okay in one department and not okay in the other. It's possible that the avon is begali, but pnimius libam nisharu krovon la'emuna l'tshuva. They were really spiritual. They were karov to HaKadosh Baruch on the inside. V'lachein, and therefore, nizgala kitzam. There was an external error in the things that they did. So we have an external resolution. They were told, after 70 years, you will come home. But if in the second Beis Hamikdash, as Rav Volbe's thesis it goes, what was rotten was the inside, was the midos, was the character, was the moral fabric. We're still in that same exile. And we're looking at the clock and we're thinking, it's an awful long time. But it relates, says Rav Volbe, on the next line. I don't have what line we're on. I don't know the number because in my book I didn't write numbers. Where are we now? We're on Ulam, where the little right after the little star. What number? 11. Ulam Babaya Sasheni. In the second Beis Hamikdash, Haisa Bahem Sinas Chinam. So ba'olam ha'chitzoni lo haya pagam, there was nothing missing in the external world. Shari oska b'torah v'mitzvos va'af b'gemilas chasadim, as we mentioned. Aval gam ma'ase ha'chesed, the actions that they did, lo he'idu al ava shebelev, did not testify and indicate an inner love for other people. Nimtzeinu lemedim, we learn from this, ki sinas chinam, that baseless resentment, shehi shorish hamidos haros hechriva olamam hapnimi, it destroyed their inner world. But where's this inner world coming from? What's the basis of the inner world? It's something spiritual. It's self-esteem, self-worth. A person's self-worth comes from the inside, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God believes in each one of us, and He gave each one of us a soul and a mission to accomplish in life, so we should feel good about ourselves. But if we don't feel a sense of olamo hapnimi, of an inner world, so then it's very easy to lose a sense of self. Then you start measuring your sense of self in other ways, whether it's financial or social or societal, and then it's very easy to get into this spiral. A person who has a healthy, proper, high level of self-confidence, so they would never fall into the trap of sinas chinam. Right? Why do we resent other people? Only because we have an insecurity. If we're not insecure, so why would we resent someone? What about their existence, right? Sinas chinam means the fact that you exist bothers me, basically. You bother me. I'm not saying anyone in particular. I'm saying theoretically. I'm not looking at anybody. Where does that come from? Why does the fact that somebody else is there, why do they bother me? There's something about them that just rankles me. It's always bothering me. Whenever I see them, it always bothers me. Where does that come from? There must be something that I'm so insecure about that I'm not comfortable around them. They're making me uncomfortable. They don't even know they're making me uncomfortable. They didn't even do anything to bother me. It's sinas chinam, right? That's the point. If somebody is totally, you know, disrespectful to me and rude and mean, which there are people like that, unfortunately. So that's not sinas chinam. That's, I was just treated like garbage, so I'm going to resent the person who treated me like garbage. Sinas chinam is something else. Sinas chinam is, there's no reason on the books why I should resent this person. They just rubbed me the wrong way. Why? If you have a good olam hapnimi, let them live. Love them. Who cares? But there's something about it that bothers me. So what Rav Volbe is saying, that sinas chinam, that indicates there's a problem in the olam hapnimi on the inside. And that, he says, is the shorish of kol midos rose, which that's what Dr. Tversky, Abraham J. Tversky, Shia Tversky, in all of his books, writes basically that same yesod, that when a person has low self-esteem, so then that can trigger all kinds of challenges in their life, all the midos rose, anger, and lack of patience, and lack of generosity. Right? A person who has a very high level of self-esteem can be very generous. At least generous of heart. Maybe they not have the means to be very generous, but they'll have the heart to be generous. So there are a lot of ways to be generous without dollars and cents. A person can be generous with their time, can be generous with their feeling, just greeting people with a smile, right? There are lots of ways to be generous. That comes from avas chinam, from just being an open, positive person. So we're thinking to ourselves, the last few weeks, we're talking about Chovas Halavavos and consciousness of God and the Olam HaPnimi, and it's super spiritual. It's like you walk out and you're like, oh, that's very high spiritual stuff. I don't think that's for Monday, the rest of my day. That's not on the menu for today. But then we realize Rav Volbe is saying that actually correlates to something that's very plain everyday life, which is what kind of person are we? Are we a person of the Olam HaPnimi, of the inner world, that feels that the Ribbono Shel Olam God is with us, and that we have goodness in our life, and there's no reason to be bitter or resentful or negative about things? Or have we lost our way internally, that the Olam HaPnimi, we're lost, so we feel like we're empty inside? So the best way to feel good when you're empty inside is to knock somebody else down. So we're going to find lots of people, whoever we encounter, those shoes are so ugly. Wow, she walked right by them. You said, "Ugh, tights look ridiculous." Like, you know, like that. Where's that come from? That comes from not feeling the Olam HaPanimi. That feels like, oh, I have nothing good to show for myself today. I'm not feeling good about myself, so I'm going to knock somebody else down. That's the Sinas Chinam. There's no reason to pass judgment on that other person. It's just, if it's coming from this place. So he says, therefore, V'churban p'nimi zeh gorm l'churban beis ha-mikdash nizgala b'seh yisod gadol. So Rav Volvi says in the end of this paragraph, what we learned today is a huge yisod, a fundamental principle, that what? Midos ra'os. Lacking in the area of character, hein churban olamo ha-p'nimi shel ha-adam. That is either the cause or the symptom of the inner destruction of the person. So what do we got to do? We have to be spiritual, and one avenue to spirituality is focusing on being a good person. Being honest with ourselves. When we're being negative, where is that coming from? Why is it happening? What is the root of it? What's the shoresh? Zuya emes, says Rav Volbi, the second to last paragraph. This is the truth. Ein hasaga amitis, there is no true accomplishment. Ve'ein hargasha amitis, there is no true sense. Nimsif believe that you cannot get a spiritual experience in a heart asher sina mekanenes bo, that anger and hatred are pinging inside of it. How can you open your heart to Hashem Yisbarach, to a real bona fide spiritual experience of the inner world, when there's so much anger, when there's a tinge of hatred? And if our goal, what we're interested in, is building our inner world, we have now figured out what is the essential thing to work on. We need to work on our midos. That's where it starts, at the core of it. The concept of midos tovos. What is that all about? So that's going to be thinking about our relationship with Hashem, our relationship with ourselves, humility first and foremost. Yeah.
I'm wondering, I'm not a psychologist, but I'm wondering, I'm kind of tying it back to things you have said before. If the person that irritates us might be irritating us because that person is exhibiting a characteristic we have that we're trying to deny, and that's what we need to work on. Kind of recycling back to what you have said in the past, and maybe that's what we need to reflect on. What is it, you know, and is it in us that we're trying to cover that same characteristic over?
Yes. Right. So neither am I. So that right. So that might be right. So what you're pointing out is that teaching from the Baal Shem HaKadosh that the world is a mirror. Yes. So if we find somebody is irritating, we say, "Oh, you know what? What about that person bothers me? Why am I upset when I encounter them? I feel like they're so stingy." Well, maybe it's because there's a stinginess that I have that's being reflected in that person. I'm projecting on them
right.
What I really need to deal with on my own. Mm-hmm. Or it could be, separate apart from them, that could be true. That's what Baal Shem might say. Or it could be that just I'm reacting to that person. I'm identifying something negative in them because I don't have the full tank inside of my Olam HaPnimi. So it could be I'm just going to look for anything to pin it on. So it could be one of the two. But the point is, it's an opportunity to reflect on ourselves of what kind of people do we want to be. And it's not a binary choice of either I'm going to be the hero or I'm going to be the villain. We all have aspects of those inside. So it's what voice am I going to amplify? So many of us in our life, we have that voice that's positive and we just need to amplify it. We have it all the time and we do that. And this correlates to that feeling that we talked about last week of the good experience. When we do something and we involve the Olam HaPanimi, we feel it. We know it. We hear that inner voice. That's the time when we have removed v'hasar akas milibecha, where we've taken all of our selfishness and all of our anger and all of our frustration, we've taken that all away and we just did something good. That good shown from the inside, that's coming from the midas tovos. That's coming from the olam ha'pnimi. That's coming from the inner world. So he concludes, yesod ha'chinuch l'torah ma'u, what is chinuch for Torah? What is growth and building ourselves in Torah? Hanukuda hamerkazit hi lev. The central point is the heart. Misham, from there, niftach lefanenu ha'olam hanistar. From there we open the hidden inner world. It starts with the heart. Ha'elyon, the elevated, umisham, and from there, yushpa shefa shel kedusha al haguf ha'olam ha'maaseh. Va'olamein, from there, all of the energy and the spiritual goodness will flow. Va'olameinu hapnimi, in our inner world, aleinu livnos, ayde amel v'yegia b'midos u'mitzvos yam yachad. And we're going to build that both by working on our midos and the practical mitzvos. But the practical mitzvos on the outside, that's the chovas ha'ivarim, that's not really enough without thinking about the Olam HaPnimi and the Chiddush that Rav Volbe concludes, and this is how he ends the entire introduction to the whole work, is thinking about what kind of person I am. And using our life as a mirror to say, well, if I'm being negative now, what is the reason for that? Where is that coming from? When I'm walking around during the day, where is my Olam HaPnimi? If I'm feeling good about myself and about the things that I'm doing in the world, then my olam ha'pnimi is shining. But if I'm struggling with sinas chinam, if I'm negative about everything and everyone, so then that indicates that my olam ha'pnimi needs a little bit of work. And we all need a little bit of that work. But at least once you have that orientation, it helps us get on the right track and it enables us to realize that the inner world, the olam ha'pnimi, is not just something that's abstract and spiritual and ethereal somewhere out there. It's really within our grasp to focus on and to shift our perspective to one that is healthy and positive and built on a good sense of spiritual self and inner worth. I hope you have a great week.